Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here and be with all of you during this resurrection morning. I've really it's been good for me to listen to all the thoughts that each of you have shared in Sunday school and devotions and elsewhere, and it kind of makes me a little apprehensive talking about the resurrection. Maybe it shouldn't, but what I feel is that I can't really say much that hasn't been said already, and I can't bring anything new to you about the resurrection. But maybe I can renew your appreciation and your love for the Lord, for what He did for us, and I'll try to do that. So I'd like to start reading just a little bit in Luke. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit. I'd like to talk a lot about being a witness of the resurrection. But I'll start in Luke 24 at verse 36. So this is what Jesus said after He appeared to the disciples. This was after the men on the road to Emmaus met Jesus, and He talked to them, and they were so excited about what had happened that they got up from their meal and rushed off to meet with the other disciples and tell them, "We met Jesus. He is actually risen," and because the others were in doubt. And while they were there talking, and I think there was probably a lot of turmoil and discussion, and one person was probably saying one thing and he was being interrupted by somebody else, and they were trying to figure this out, Jesus appeared to them. At verse 36, "And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, He said unto them, Have you here any meat? And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb, and He took it, and did eat before them. And He said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and saith unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." So I couldn't help but try to put myself in the place of the disciples and sympathize with what they were feeling and experiencing at this point. You know, they had their world had been turned upside down in the last while. They had seen their preacher, their teacher, the one who they respected above anyone else, killed on the cross. And all their dreams about what He was going to do and what they thought He was going to do, they were all gone. They were shattered. But now something has happened, and they're trying to believe this resurrection story. It's hard for them to accept it. They don't know what it means. They don't realize why it's happening. And Jesus appears to them, and, you know, they struggled. They wanted to believe. They wanted to have faith. Jesus appeared to them and explained to them very carefully through the prophets, through the law of Moses and the Psalms, all the verses in the Bible that talk about Him and about what was going to happen. And they saw that. They opened their eyes and they realized, yes, this was the plan that God had ordained, that Jesus would come, that He would live here, that He would suffer, that He would die, and that He would rise again. The most amazing thing, that He would rise again. So I have to think of the disciples. They had to make a turn in their belief and in their following of Jesus. They had to make this turn because it wasn't really something they were expecting. It talked about in John in our Sunday school about how that I can't remember the verse exactly, but it talks about how they didn't yet know the verses that were talking about his resurrection. And now this is all soaking in. It's going to take just a little bit. And, you know, we have the benefit of hindsight or whatever. We can look back and we can see, you know, we can look at the prophecies. They're all explained to us now, and we can follow that, and we can see it. But for them, it was a new thing. You know, what is the meaning of this new thing to them, the resurrection? You know, it's a wonderful story to tell. It's enjoyable. It brings many beautiful thoughts into our heart. And as I was thinking about it, I was struck by the fact that there's nothing really to compare it to. It's unique. You know, never before was a miracle so well witnessed and so well documented. Never before had a man predicted his own death and his own resurrection. Never before has an event gripped people like it has, like the resurrection has. And here we are, still talking about it 2,000 years later, and it's just as real as it was then. Never before had a God shown such love to man that he would send someone to earth, his son, to live and die and rise again on earth. This amazing story, and there's really nothing we can compare it to. So what is the message of the resurrection? I can't stand up here and tell you that I know all the meaning and all the significance of it. But Josh, I had to think what Josh was saying. What is it that is so different about a risen Christ versus a dead one? Here we have Muhammad, like he mentioned, all these great founders of these great religions of the world. But you can find their grave. It's documented how they died and where they died, and they have these shrines that are placed there. But no other God has proven that he is greater than the power of death. Why would you want to trust a God who admits that there's a power that's greater than he is? All these other religions, death is a more powerful thing than they are. They can't conquer it. But Christ was able to conquer death. The resurrection wasn't just a testimony of the power of God, but it was also, I think, a proof that what Jesus said in his life, that what he said and what he did was truth. You know, he laid out a message for the kingdom of God that was pretty different. It was radical. It was a change. People had a hard time accepting it or understanding it. And then he made his claim that he's the Son of God and he's going to rise again. And when that happened, there was no greater proof that could have occurred to prove that Jesus was the Son of God than his own resurrection. And the wonderful message of the resurrection is also a new life in Christ. You know, by demonstrating to us that he's more powerful than death, we can have hope of new life and a hope of our own resurrection when the world comes to an end. I'd like to read Romans 6 a little bit. This chapter is one of my favorite chapters, and because it explains so well the relationship of God's death and resurrection to our personal lives today. And I'm just going to start in verse 3 and read down through verse 11. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here we see that, you know, the message of the resurrection is, it starts with death, but it ends with new life. And that new life can be ours. That new life is ours in Christ Jesus. Our old man is dead. We let the new life of Christ live in us and live through us. One other thing I'd like to talk about here is the results of the resurrection. We talked a little bit about the message, but maybe we'll apply it a little closer. You know, everyone in history is faced with the resurrection and with a reaction, a response to it. And whether you want to or not, you have two options. You can either accept it and be a witness of it, or you can be a denier of the resurrection. And there's lots of deniers out there. And maybe you could say that some of the evidence that the resurrection is true is the fact that there's been so many people that have denied it or tried to deny it for thousands of years and were unsuccessful. Recently, I read an article in the news about the Shroud of Turin. I don't know if any of you have heard of that. It's a piece of cloth that supposedly was part of Jesus' burial clothes. And this is a story that I really have a hard time believing. But anyway, there's a lot of people that believe that it has this image on it of a man. And there's a lot of people that believe that this image is Jesus' image. Well, recently a scholar, he was studying this, or maybe he didn't study it that much. But in any case, he came up with an idea. He thinks he understands the resurrection story, that when the disciples found this cloth, this is what he says, I quote, "It seemed like they had a living double after his death, and therefore it was seen as Jesus resurrected." And from there, he says that this cloth went on a tour of the Holy Land, and when the Bible talks about people seeing Jesus after his resurrection, what it actually means is that they saw this cloth. Now, does that make any sense? Did the disciples give their lives and die for a simple idea of a cloth that, you know, might have meant something or might not have? Does that sound right? It doesn't sound right at all to me. That's not how it happened. The Jews went to great lengths to try to disprove, to discredit the idea of the resurrection. But no matter how hard they tried, the story kept coming out. It kept leaking out, and people kept believing it. And to me, some of the strongest evidence that the resurrection is true is the fact that look at the disciples and their lives after the resurrection, before the resurrection and after. You know, something really remarkable happened. In Matthew, it talks about how that when Jesus was arrested, that all the disciples forsook him and fled. Now, compare that with, or contrast that with the view we have of the disciples in Acts. When Peter stands up and preaches to the people, and 3,000 people are saved. Compare that to the things that the disciples did throughout their lives. Compare that to their deaths. All of them died, except perhaps Bartholomew and John, died a death of a martyr, with a sword, with the cross, with various torture, they died. That is a strong evidence that something remarkable had happened, something great had happened. And, you know, Jesus said in the verse I read previous, "You are witnesses of these things." And truly the disciples became witnesses, bold witnesses, who went and did and died for what they believed and what Jesus had done for them, for the idea of the resurrection. And I had to ask this question, you know, those witnesses died soon, they were gone. But there rose up many other witnesses throughout the years, thousands, millions of witnesses to the truth of the resurrection. And that's an evidence that the resurrection is true. This news has spread across the world. It's still changing lives. And what about you and I? Are we a witness of the resurrection? You know, a witness is somebody who experiences something and then goes and tells it to people. You can't be quiet as a witness. You have to actually share that news. Does the world see in your life, does the court of the world see you as a witness to the resurrection and the truth and the power of it? For many people today, Easter is just the day of the year that they choose to go to church. It's the most attended day in churches is Easter. And we don't want to just observe Easter, but we want to become witnesses of the resurrection. There's a big difference. We can observe Easter by simply agreeing that it's a holiday, or by going to church we can sort of observe Easter. But we don't want to do that. We want to be a witness of his resurrection. We experienced it. We want to be a witness of it and share it with others. You know, in closing, I'd just like to note that the message of the resurrection is still very relevant today. Maybe it's just as relevant as it ever was. It's very important. The power of God has not changed in the last 2,000 years. We see around us so many things decaying and diminishing and dimming and so on. But God's power hasn't done that. It's the same today as it was that day when he resurrected Jesus. We keep that in our minds. It helps us to realize, you know, that God is still working. He still is powerful. He can change lives, and he does change lives every day. And I'm just so grateful today that Jesus died for me, that he forgave my sins, and also that he rose again. And by his rising again, we can have, and I can have, newness of life, a new walk, and a thankful heart for what he has all done for me. That's all I have this morning. Maybe you have a testimony about the resurrection, what it means to you, or something. I'll leave it open a little bit.
Thank you.